Now, before we read the scriptures, shall we pray? Our Father, we're thankful tonight once again for this privilege of approaching Thee. We do thank Thee, our God, for the laws of the land that allow us to meet in this way, none daring to make us afraid. We thank Thee we can approach Thee tonight with thanksgiving. Thou hast done great things for us, whereof we are glad. We thank Thee tonight, our God, our sins are gone, our fears are o'er. We shun Thy presence now no more. We do thank Thee tonight for salvation, and we thank Thee, our God, for the many things that accompany salvation. We thank Thee, our God, it is Thy great desire to save. We thank Thee tonight, our God, for one who was born a Saviour. We remember, our God, He lived a Saviour. We thank Thee, our God, at the place called Calvary, He died a Saviour. And tonight He's in Thy presence, a Prince and a Saviour, not willing that any should perish, but all might come to repentance. We pray tonight, our God, that Thou wilt give help now in the reading of Thy precious word and in the preaching of the gospel. Help us tonight, our God, to speak well of Thy beloved Son. We pray that Christ might be presented in all His fullness. And we pray, our God, that this evening some sinners will be drawn to the Saviour. Wherever Christ is uplifted as the only means of salvation, we pray Thy blessing upon Thy spoken word. And while Thou art blessing others, we pray, our God, Thou wilt not pass us by, and we shall give Thee the honour, the praise and the glory in the Lord Jesus' worthy and precious name. Amen. Now again, we will give each and every one a very warm welcome to the meeting, and trust there will be a blessing for all who are present with us this evening. Now we're going to read four well-known scriptures. The first one is in the book of Genesis, and we're going to read in chapter 7. The book of Genesis, and we're going to read in chapter 7. Genesis 7, and we'll read verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou, and all thine house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. I'd like to read a second reading in the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah and chapter 1. The book of Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Third reading in the Gospel according to Matthew in chapter 11. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to read verse 28, a well-known verse. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A final reading in the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, and the last chapter, Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever, let him take of the water of life freely. The Lord has promised to bless to us the reading from his precious word. Now, mainly tonight in the gospel, we're going to consider one word. It's a word that the child first learns, and it's the word come. No doubt you have noticed in those failed verses that we have read this evening, there is the word come. Read it in Genesis 1, Genesis 7. Read it in Isaiah chapter 1. You read it in Matthew chapter 11. And you read it in Revelation chapter 22, the little word come. Can you visualize tonight the mother with outstretched arms and says to the child, come? And the child responds to the invitation of the mother. I turn tonight to Romans chapter 10 and I read a verse like this. All day long have I stretched out my hand to a disobedient and a gainsaying people. And God tonight stands, as it were, with outstretched arms, and God tonight is saying, come. Now, the first thing I want you to notice tonight from those verses is this. I want you to notice the persons who are saying come in the verse. When I come to Genesis chapter 7, the speaker tonight is God. Listen tonight to what God says to Noah. Come thou, and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me. And remember tonight, God says, come. When I come to Isaiah chapter 1, again God is the speaker. Listen tonight to what God says. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And my first point tonight is this. Remember, God says, come. But then when I come to Matthew chapter 11, it is not now God who is saying come, but in Matthew chapter 11, it is the Lord Jesus that is saying come. Listen tonight to his invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's Christ that says come in Matthew chapter 11. And then when I come to Revelation chapter 22, I discover this. It's the Spirit of God that is saying come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. So in the Old Testament, God says, come.
In the New Testament, crises come. And in the New Testament, the Spirit of God says, come. What do we sometimes sing? Words like these. O come to Christ, O come today. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit say, and the bride repeats the call. And remember, if you don't come, remember you can't say that you have not been invited. God says come. Christ says come. And the Spirit of God says come. So the invitation tonight is come. The second thing I want you to notice about those verses tonight very quickly is this. Notice where they have to come to, and notice who they have to come to. When I come to Genesis chapter 7, I read a verse like this. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. So come to a place into the ark. But you know, when I come to Matthew chapter 11, not now come to a place, but it's come to a person. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now the question tonight might be asked, why have we to come to Christ? If I read my Bible correctly, I discover this. Christ is the only way to the Father. Listen tonight to what the Bible says. I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Christ is the only way to the Father. You know, Christ is the only door to salvation. Listen tonight to what the Bible says. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Christ is the only door to salvation. You know, Christ is the only mediator between God and man. There is one God. And there is one mediator between God and man, himself, the man Christ Jesus. And I've come tonight to tell you this. Christ is the only man in which salvation is to be found. I'll listen tonight to the words of Luke in Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. What do we sometimes sing? Something that goes like this. Jesus alone. Jesus alone. Jesus alone can save. No name else is given, set through earth and heaven. Jesus alone. Jesus alone. Jesus alone can save. You know, when I preach the gospel, I like to think about three things. I like to think about a tree. I like to think about a throne. And I like to think about a tomb. For remember, the Bible talks about a tree, and the Bible talks about a tomb, and the Bible talks about a throne. Let's think tonight about the tree. You remember the words of Peter? 1 Peter chapter 2 says this: who his own self, he bare our sin in his own body on the tree. Listen tonight to the words of Paul in Galatians chapter 3. He said this: Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So remember tonight, friend, the Bible talks about a tree. What did we sing tonight? Crucified. Crucified and nailed upon the tree. So remember, wicked hands took the Lord Jesus Christ and they nailed him to the tree. The Bible talks about a tree. But you know, there is a verse in Acts 13 and it goes like this: when they had fulfilled all things that were written of him, they took him down from the tree and they laid him in the tomb. In the sepulchre or in the tomb. Now I want to emphasize this tonight in this meeting. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is not on the tree. It was wicked hands that took him. And they nailed him to that tree. Listen tonight to what the Bible says: ye have taken, and by wicked hands, you have crucified and slew the Lord of glory. And remember, wicked hands took the Lord Jesus Christ and they nailed him to the tree. But you know, loving hands, the hands of Joseph of Arimathea, the hands of Nicodemus, they took him down from the tree and they laid him in the tomb. And the question tonight might be asked, is the Lord Jesus Christ in the tomb? Listen tonight to what the Bible says. Why seek ye the living amongst the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Listen tonight to the words of the Lord Jesus: I am he that liveth, who became dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. So first of all, remember, Christ is not on the tree. And remember tonight, friend, Christ is not in the tomb. So if Christ is not on the tree, and if Christ is not in the tomb, the question tonight is this: where is Christ?
Listen tonight to Hebrews chapter 12. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. And I tell you tonight, friend, the truth of the gospel is this. The tree tonight is vacant. The tomb tonight is empty. And the throne tonight is filled. Listen tonight to the words of the hymn writer. If the Christ who had died had stopped at the cross, his work had been incomplete. If the Christ who was buried had lay in the tomb, he had only known defeat. But the way of the cross never stops at the cross, and the way of the tomb leads on to victorious grace in the heavenly place where the risen Lord has gone. This morning we spoke about Calvary. As I think of Calvary tonight, certain things come to my mind, and I want to emphasize them tonight in this gospel meeting. For example, at Calvary, there's a distance that cannot be measured. At Calvary, there's a darkness that cannot be penetrated. At Calvary, there's a load that cannot be weighed. At Calvary, there's a love that cannot be described. Now let's think of those four things tonight very quickly in the preaching of the gospel. A distance that cannot be measured. You remember twice in the Psalms you read this phrase, so far. Where do you read that? I turn tonight to Psalm 22. Listen tonight to my verse. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And there's a distance that cannot be measured. But you know, I come to Psalm 103. Listen to my verse. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. If there had not been the so far of Psalm 22, there would never be the so far of Psalm 103. It's a distance that cannot be measured. But you know, I go to Calvary tonight, and I notice a darkness that cannot be penetrated. You know, I used to work in the coal mine. We used to go down the coal mine, and we had on a helmet and a little light. And we would walk perhaps a mile underground. And very often I would put out my light, and there was a darkness, a dense darkness in the coal mine.
There's a verse in the book of Exodus, chapter 11, is it? Talks about the land of Egypt. Listen to what it says about the land of Egypt. There was a darkness. There was a very thick darkness. But I want to remind you tonight, listen to Psalm 22. I cry in the daytime, and thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. Do I tell you tonight, friend, in this meeting, the darkness of the coal mine and the darkness of the land of Egypt could never be compared with the darkness that the Lord passed through at the place called Calvary. What do we sometimes sing? None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost. A darkness that could not be penetrated. You know, at Calvary there was a load that cannot be weighed. Listen tonight to Isaiah 53. Jehovah laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. What do we sometimes sing? All our sins were laid on Jesus. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him, and believing, we go free. A load that could not be weighed. But tonight I go to Calvary, and I see a dark, a distance that cannot be measured. And I see a darkness that cannot be penetrated. And I see a load that cannot be weighed. But you know, I see a love that cannot be described. Listen tonight to the words of the apostle. The Son of God, he loved me, and he gave himself for me. Listen tonight to the words of the hymn writer. The love that Jesus had for me, to suffer on that cruel tree, that I a ransomed soul might be, is more than tongue can tell. And remember at Calvary, a distance that cannot be measured, a darkness that cannot be penetrated, a load that cannot be weighed, and a love that cannot be described. You know, when I think of Calvary tonight, many things come to my mind. Let me tell you five things tonight about Calvary very quickly. Calvary delighted God. Calvary delivered you and I. Calvary defeated the devil. Calvary declares deity, and it's Calvary that divides humanity. Let's think of those five things tonight very quickly. Did Calvary delight God?
I heard one of the most ablest men ever I listened to once said this: if not one soul had been saved because of Calvary, God would have been delighted with what His Son did at Calvary. Calvary delighted God. Listen tonight to one verse from the Bible. He loved us. He gave Himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice, an odor of a sweet smell unto God. And I tell you tonight, remember, Calvary delighted God. You remember Leviticus chapter 1? The head, the fat, the inwards, the legs, all laid upon the altar, and it says the Lord smelled a sweet savour. Calvary satisfied God. You know, Calvary delivered me. And every Christian tonight, Calvary delivered you. Listen tonight to one verse from the Bible. Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. I have found a redemption price. I think it's in this hymn book. It goes something like this: O wondrous grace that found a plan to rescue guilty fallen man and help him of his load, found in him a resting place. That, and that's what it is the Lord has done for us. So remember, Calvary has delivered you and I. You know, Calvary defeated the devil. I remember reading a story. It was about Wellington, who defeated Napoleon at the Battle of Waterloo. After Napoleon had been defeated, the story went like this. One night, Napoleon, with a map of the world before him, and all his soldiers around him, and Napoleon was heard to say something like this: if it had not been for that little red spot, I could have conquered the world. And that little red spot was the British Isles. But you know, the story went on like this. Likewise, the devil, with a map of the world before him, and a host of demons around him. And the devil was heard to say this: if it had not been for that little red spot, I could have conquered the world. And that little red spot was Calvary. The greatest battle that was ever fought, and the greatest victory that was ever won, was fought and won at the place called Calvary. I think I quoted it this morning. I'll quote it again. In what might seem defeat, He won the meeting crown, trod all His foes beneath His feet by being trodden down. Calvary defeated the devil.
You know, Calvary declares deity. Ever sat beside a loved one that was dying? What's the last thing that loved one does? The head falls and the spirit departs. But you know, I go to Calvary and I don't see a head falling. Listen to what the Bible says. He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. And remember, Calvary declares deity. You know, Calvary divides humanity. You remember three crosses at Calvary? The center cross, Christ. On one side there was a thief that railed upon him. On the other side there was a thief that received him. And Calvary divides humanity. I want to make it very clear tonight. Calvary is either everything to you tonight, or Calvary tonight means nothing to you. Listen tonight to the words of the hymn writer. Calvary's cross, O blessed center, on it God's salvation see. Let me tell you two things about Calvary before I close the meeting, and it's this. You know, Calvary will never be repeated. Listen tonight to what the Bible says. Once in the end of the age he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Calvary will never be repeated. What do we sometimes sing? Ne'er again will God Jehovah smite the shepherd with the sword. Ne'er again shall cruel sinners set at naught our glorious Lord. And remember, Calvary shall never be repeated. But you mark my words. You know, Calvary, it will always be remembered. And we're going to sing unto the one that has loved us and washed us from our sin. And I tell you tonight, the gospel is this. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And tonight he's at God's right hand. He's a prince and a savior, not willing that any should perish, but all might come to repentance. Now shall we pray. Our Father, tonight we thank thee for Calvary. We thank thee for all that Calvary means to thee. And we thank thee for all that Calvary means to us. We pray, O God, that thou wilt bless thy word this evening. Part us now with thy richest blessing. We think of this area, we commit it to thee. Pray, O God, that thou wilt remember all those tonight in need. We think of Haiti tonight especially. We pray for that land. And above all, our Father, we pray that souls, our God, who are perishing in their sin, might come to know thee and thy Son as their Saviour and Lord.
Part us now with thy blessing. Take us home tonight in safety as we offer our praise and our thanksgiving in the Lord Jesus' worthy and precious name. Amen. Could we sing tonight just two verses of hymn number 287? Hymn number 287. By faith the Lamb of God I see, expiring on the cross for me. He paid the mighty debt I owe, he died because he loved me so. He loved me so, he loved me so. He died because he loved me so. We'll sing verses 1 and verses 4 of hymn number 287.
By faith the Lamb of God I see.